this frosty day in January, we're reminded of what it's like to wear a few more layers and add an extra hat or scarf. And here we come, because we are Canadian. Let us pray. God, we look to you on the frosty days as you ignite us by the gift of your Spirit. Amen. We have a voice, something we're born with, something we live with, and something we die with. And on this Sunday where we mark the baptism of Jesus, thoughts turn for me to the baptism of my nephew Nicholas. Because he had a great voice on his baptism day, this was probably over 20 years ago, in a Greek Orthodox church on Shepherd. And in that tradition, it's slightly different. In that tradition, the child arrives, they take all the clothes off the child, and then they cover the child from head to toe with oil, so the child is very slippery. And then they dip the child three times in this massive baptismal font that's the size of a very large salad bowl, dipping three times, because everything's done three times. And I remember, as he rose in the water, screaming loud, filling St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church. We have a voice, something we are born with. CBC speaks about the voice that we're born with, that we learn to sing when we're children, and sometime, at some moment, we lose that. Yet that voice that we have as children, there's some parts of Canada that keep it going. As we learn about Cape Breton and the songs they share in kitchens and informal gatherings, everyone plays an instrument and sings their song. Or perhaps you've been to a piano bar. But what we're reminded about even more is our own tradition, when John Wesley and Charles, many centuries ago, ignited the voice of congregational song and brought us the hymns of our traditions. The voice that ignites by that blessed Spirit that we share even now. And God, we hear today, we hear that voice that God speaks in the text, where he says, I called you by name. In the grit and grace and promise of Bethlehem, I called you by name. In a memorial service that took place before Christmas, the memorial service for Robert Castell, who was 62. And at that memorial service, a friend spoke these words. He said, he learned from in Egyptian tradition that when you stand before the judgment day in ancient Egyptian lore, you're asked two questions. One is, how have you received joy? And where have you offered joy in your life? I thought, how profound is that? And so simple. I've called you by name, we hear. And I called you by name, and in the face of all that we fear and the people of the ancient stories here, God is with us, guiding us even now. I've called you by name in the 40 days and 40 nights of the flood. I've called you by name in the many years wandering in the wilderness. I've called you by name, he says to Jesus, when you came out of that wilderness. He calls us today in the hidden beauty, in all this life, the cistern that is before us that we call are called to drink from and share from. Recently, a friend of mine said he had just tried 23andMe. Now, some people have tried Ancestry.com. I thought, well, I tried that. I'll try 23andMe. And out came, pop from the other end of that 23andMe, was 50% Italian, 25% Irish, 25% French, and 25% German. And I thought, well, I knew the Italian part, but now I had confirmed for me that I'm actually green. I'm no longer a wannabe. I can forever and all time say it's in my DNA. I've called you by name. As you pass through the waters, I will be with you. In that moment where the people, the Hebrews, are terrified in the rivers of Babylon, they're terrified by the people that they called overlords. But a change happens. A new leader, the Persian government, the Persian Empire. And he says, you are freed. You are free. You are freed now. Some say Cyrus the Great was of Persia, was a Mashiach, a Messiah, because he freed them. But there they were, terrified, uncertain, no longer knowing the way, because it was their grandparents who'd traveled to Babylon. No longer certain of how to get there, yet there's the word and voice of Isaiah saying, every valley shall be exalted, every hill brought low, and the glory of the Lord will be risen upon you. You see, when we hear that voice, as they did, to face our fears, we remember, if but for a moment, that we are not alone. We hear the voice of doctor's diagnosis. We hear a voice of a friend who only a few weeks ago told us, just before Christmas, in the early month of December, that he was told he had 6 weeks to live, diagnosed with colon cancer, removing half of his colon, yet 6 weeks have passed, and now he's in chemo. Reminded, a friend sent me the words of this poem, "Pity the doctor, not the disease." So many of our friends and our family hear those words. Bless you. And we're reminded in that moment in time of diagnosis that hope hasn't ended. It continues as we stand strong together. As we hear the voice in the text of Acts, receive the Spirit that Peter and John spoke about. Receive the Spirit that Philip spoke to the Samaritans. That was radical in those days. The Samaritans were the outcast in Jesus' time. They were the people left behind when they were taken to Babylon. And yet there was Philip ready to speak to them and learn from them. And part of the story about Spirit includes Simon the magician. Not Jewish and not Christian so much, but a person who was about learning more spells and learning more conjuring. He wanted to buy the Spirit from Peter and John. And it reminded me, and perhaps reminds many of us, how in the tradition of the church, we try to put the Spirit in a bottle and we put our label upon it. Do not open unless you're Presbyterian. Do not touch unless you're Anglican. Well, Catholics, those who are not Catholic, need not hold. And we have done this. But yet God touches us, even now, to break free the bottled spirits that we have, and to say, receive the Spirit, that gift of breaking in. Because so often in every age, we've misunderstood and misunderstand what it can be. Just like in every age when we heard the Berlin Wall fell down and we thought initially, instantly, that capitalism has won. Be careful. Bill Browder, an economist and capitalist and investor, thought capitalism had won. And then before long, he was enemy number one of Putin and having invested in Russia. Be careful what we unopen. Capitalism, I would say, is not the answer. Fairness and equality, Spirit breaking in, helping us understand each other, is the gift that God brings each and every day. As we hear the words today in the text, I will fill you with expectation. John the Baptist says this. Jesus says this. I will invite you to bend the knee, bow the body, bend the heart below the knee. And we were struggling with part of this text this week in Bible study, both Thursday and Saturday, as we heard wheat and chaff. And traditionally we have heard that discussed as, well, you're if you're good, you're the wheat, you get to stay in. If you're the bad, you're the chaff. But we took a second look. What if the chaff is those attitudes and behaviors that we need to discard? Those attitudes and behaviors that prevent our relationship from God from being born. Those attitudes that prevent us from hearing that voice from God speaking into us even now, that open us to seeing people as they are in the road that they walk on, to manage that diversity. One of our staff members, Nadan, is a great gift here at Metropolitan. He was so excited telling me the story about a new door that opened for him. He was having an MRI. I know most of us, if you've ever had an MRI, it's the most terrifying thing in the world. They say, be calm, it's just a machine. It feels like you are being buzzsawed in half if you've ever been inside an MRI machine. But one of the things they've added for people, the technician said to Nadan, whose first language is not English, he said, would you like another language? What language do you speak? And then Nadan initially said, no, I'm okay. And then he said, no, I speak Tamil. And the machine spoke to him in Tamil. And what it did for a moment in time is move his anxiety from here down to here. Do not fear, says the text. Do not fear, says the technician. Do not fear, says God. When you receive the waters of baptism, you will find new life and new hope. The water can be so inviting and so disturbing. Just before Christmas, we heard about our friends in Indonesia, that tsunami that came in that moment in the concert, how terrifying that would have been when a floodwaters come. But we're reminded in the aftermath of people ready to, willing to offer their time and their talents. In the words of Bohemian Rhapsody, is this the real life? Is this a fantasy? When we're in the middle of the storm, we don't want it to be real. We just want it to go away. Yet we're reminded in that moment of time, as we hear the voice, the text say, when you walk through the fires, you will not be burned. It's as if a bridge comes and takes hold of us. As if we hear that moment of God, I've called you by name. I will pass through the waters with you. You will receive that Spirit. You will be filled with expectation. And you are my beloved. You are my beloved in that moment where the water seems so troubled. Simon Garfunkel wrote many years ago that wonderful paraphrase of the text, a bridge over troubled waters. And that's sometimes, most of the time, what we need. Because so often we feel as if the waters are going to shake us and remove us in that moment of grief, in that moment of change, in that moment of uncertainty. It's that moment where God takes us by the hand and says, I have called you by name to give thanks. In that moment where we hear the voice of the waters, not only of baptism, but of the universe, these words came to me. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. In the beginning, the Spirit hovered over the water, so below and so above. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. The flood waters receded. God said to Noah, come out of the ark and stand on dry ground. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. Moses' mother placed the child in a basket, adrift on the river waters. The child rescued. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. Moses raised hands and waters divided and people walked on dry ground. The water stopped and Joshua raised hands and led people across the Jordan on dry ground. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. Elijah struck the water with cloak and the water stopped and Elijah and Elisha crossed on dry ground. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. Isaiah spoke and gloom ended. The people freed and crossed the Jordan to Zion on dry ground. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. John the Baptist said, baptize with water. However, one is coming who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. Jesus plunged in baptism waters of Jordan River. A voice came, you are my beloved. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. An angel in Revelation showed river of life waters, the tree of life, 12 kinds of fruit, yielding fruit in each month of the year, leaves for the healing of the nations. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth. Today, we enter turbulent rivers, cross on dry ground, as we listen for the drop, drop, drop of tears. Today, we enter the river to bring mending of the heart. Drop, drop, drop of water in the mud of earth, healing the world, hearing and knowing we are the beloved. The moment of water and mud. Mud and water make bricks. Bricks, when baked, make clay, and bricks become bridges over that raging water. The voice of the water speaks to us through the people we know, through the words that we hear. Recently, in the film Green Book, I was touched and moved in a profound way when I learned that the Green Book was what African American people had to use for a hotel guide in this, imagine the 60s and 50s. It was basically a hotel guide for people who are of African-American descent in the southern U.S. mostly. And it meant that the hotels they could stay in, because if you were African-American, you couldn't stay in the Ramada or the Holiday Inn. You had to stay in other places. And it emerged in a tale told of Dr. Shirley, a real person in real time who lived above Carnegie Hall, an African-American who was a piano player, an instrumentalist trained classically, who was interviewing people to be his driver. And he interviewed a person we'll call Lip from Brooklyn. And Lip arrived and said, "Hey, my name's Lip. How you doing? It's good. I'm from Brooklyn. What do you want to drive for? I don't do valet." Lip was not a valet. Lip was a guy who could flatten you if he needed to. But Dr. Shirley realized he didn't need a valet. He needed a protector. He needed a warrior. And he was going to the southern U.S. on tour to prove a point in the time of the 60s. Because as they shared in the story, it was only in the 50s, Nat King Cole was ripped off stage in the southern U.S. by Ku Klux Klan for singing white songs, they said. But guess what? Nat King Cole was singing his own music that white people had stolen. Dr. Shirley and Lip learned and grew from each other, despite their differences. And they arrived back home on Christmas Day, and Lip invited Dr. Shirley to his home. Initially, he said no, but then the closing scene is Christmas dinner. There's the Italian family, there's the pawnbroker, the Jewish family, and in comes Dr. Shirley, reminding us a moment in time when we listen and overcome our angst. Listen to the voice of the stranger that seems even like a raging idiot. Sometimes there's wisdom in their words and the gifts that they share and the people that we offer. The words that say, "Do not fear, because in that water is life." "Do not fear," said the apostles, Peter and John, "as we will raise and lay hands on you. Do not fear, because you are not alone in that desert, and God will find you, and we will walk with you. Do not fear, I have called you by name." Steve Jobs, the great leader of Apple, in his closing thoughts of his life, he said, "Despite all the money, despite all the fame, what I invite you to think about as a human being is this: to be humans being, to listen to each other, to look for whoever you call holy, to listen and be present to each other despite all that may come your way, and stop and pause in that gift and moment of time. I've called you by name. I've called you by name," we hear. Recently at the AGO, I saw the exhibit Anthropocene, which speaks of the challenge of all humanity. Nowhere and no time in any epoch has humanity caused such damage and caused such woundedness in all the human environment. The great gift of Anthropocene is it's not just about people going, "Yes, comment noted." It's young people, all people. It's interactive. It's about people signing up and making a difference. "I have called you by name." In the story of Ready Player One, which sounds just like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or any hero story, the unlikely one is brought forward and lifted up and asked to become the next leader, but yet he has to overcome and prove himself. When we bring our ego and place it on the table and say, "Here I am, come to serve all of us," it's about hearing our name. It's about knowing that God walks with us as we pass through those waters. And no, we're not alone. It's about receiving the Spirit. It's about being the ones laying on hands and receiving that hands laying it upon us. It's about knowing that we are filled with expectation and knowing that Jesus is beloved and that we are called to join with that in that moment of time. This year, the CBC Massey Lectures, Tanya Talega, the author of Seven Fallen Feathers, she said, "We need to renew our relationship and find the path forward with all the land and each other." And she recited Dr. Martin Luther King, who was the first Massey lecturer in the 60s. "Together, we stand strong and make a difference. Together, God calls our name." I was visiting Ken Allen, a band member for many years at Metropolitan Before Christmas, and he was telling the story of how many years he had been in the band, but his next chapter was going to be about giving up playing his instrument. He had, I think it was 5 trombones, because of his heart condition. But yet he realized that in order to spend time with his family, he needed to do this. But I've heard the better news is that he may be able to play the trombone again. But yet he realized that as much as he loved the trombone, he loved his family more. And that could be the greatest moment of realization for each and every one of us. "I have called you by name. We have a voice." You remember me telling you about my nephew? My nephew, Nicholas, God bless him. Because December 22nd, Saturday night, there I was in my brother's kitchen with his wife, with my husband, and we were eating cake, drinking coffee, and breaking ground. It had been 15 years. The voice of my nephew gave all of us a voice to listen and learn. God calls us to be the voice, to say right now to each other that we are the beloved.